The sermon title today is Fire from Heaven. And to be quite honest with you, I did not want to preach this sermon this morning. Carol asked me yesterday, she says, well, what is your message going to be? Because she was thinking about song service, and I said, I really can't tell you because I said I'm between three messages right now. And I thought today, I told the Lord, Lord, we don't have time for this today. We don't have time for this message today because we have a communion service today. We want to bring in members today. And I really don't have time to do this, but it was so unsettled that He just wouldn't let go of it. So I guess I thought the Lord was wrong, but we're going to find out if He was wrong or not. And if you find out in most cases in your life that many times when you argue with God, you do not get your own way, and His will is the best will. Amen? During the week, sometimes during the week, I listen to Christian radio, and there are some outstanding speakers out there. I know that some of you also probably go home after the services, and you hear speakers that are on TV, and you think that they're really good, and there are some really very, very good ones out there. But one I hear from time to time, you know, he just cannot say enough that miracles have stopped, that healing has stopped, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has stopped. Today there is no one that is speaking in tongues. And by the time that he gets done, I think, well, what is it that you do believe is still possible? You have just gutted 95% of Christianity. If everything has stopped, how do you know that salvation has not stopped? We serve an unmovable, unshakable God whose word is pure, whose word is settled in heaven. And if I did not believe that with my whole heart, I would not be here today. I stand on the word, I believe the word, I act on the word, and nothing is ever going to change that in my life. Everything that happened during the book of Acts is still going on today because the book of Acts has not closed its cover yet, and it will not close its cover until the Lord takes us home. Listen to the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2. So turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. In verse 16, he says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. When would it come to pass? In the last days, the church age, the period of grace. The book of Acts has not closed its cover, and it will not until the Lord calls us home. The ministry of Jesus is still going on today through the hearts and the lives of the believers. So let me ask you, or you ask yourself, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, when would the power of the Holy Spirit be needed more than ever? And it would be during this period of time. During the time of the dispensation of grace. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And we've never needed that more than what we need it today. In John 14, 12, let's go back to John. If you save your place in Acts, we're going to come right back to it. But if you turn with me to John 14, John 14 and verse 12. In John 14 and verse 12, it says, John 14 and verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to be with my Father. I will read that again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he or she will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to be with my Father. And we ask the question, how could this possibly, how could this humanly be possible? because not only would the Holy Spirit be universal, but each believer would have the availability to them, the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not just going to be universal. It's not only going to be indwelling the believers today. When we accept Jesus Christ, He comes to be inside of our heart. He says, I will not only be with you, I will be in you. That we have that leading, we have that comforter that dwells within our life. But not only will He indwell you, He will empower you. And the church today needs the power of God as never before. So in the last days, most certainly, we are in the last days. Christ is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. He is my returning King. But each believer would have the availability to the power of the Spirit. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I got a little bit ahead of myself. Luke chapter 4. You've heard me read this many times, and it is just so powerful. I love to read this portion of Scripture. But when you're in Luke chapter 4, verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Luke chapter 4, verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then He closed the book and He gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fixed on Him, and He began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus Christ came to save us, to heal us, to deliver us, and He is going to return again today. Again, and until He returns, it is our work to carry on the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He said, greater things that you will do because I go to be with my Father. So let me ask you the question today. Should people be saved today? And yes, they should be. Should people be healed today? And yes, they should be. Should people be delivered today? And yes, they should be. Set free by the blood of the Lamb. The power of God has not relinquished. The God power of God has not stopped in the world that we live in today. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. We go to the end of the book of Mark, and we're going to look at the Great Commission. Now Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach, which means to proclaim the good news, the gospel, to every creature. And he who believes is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Has the Great Commission stopped for the church? If people want to preach that, if they want to preach, well, there's no more healing today. That was all back at that time. It was needed then, but it's not needed today. Well, why do they go to church and pray? Why do they go to church and pray about things when they don't believe it can ever happen because they do not serve a miracle-working God? I serve a miracle-working God that parted the Red Sea. I serve a God that created the universe. And He has anointed us with the power to preach and to teach, to proclaim, to heal, to set free through the body of Christ today. And it's going on today. We need to believe it, receive it, walk in it, and talk about it. Talk about what God is going to do. Not about what God did 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, but what is God doing in my life right now? What is God doing in our church right now? Has the Great Commission stopped? And the answer is no, it has not. And yes, I believe in miracles because that Great Commission was assigned to you and I today. How many of you have gone to church most of your lives, but say to yourselves, there's something that is different about this church. How many of you have gone to church most of your lives, but when you come into Crossroads Gospel Church, you say there is something different about that church? You can say it's love. You can say it's the presence of God. You can say whatever it is that you say, but there is something different. I not only sense the difference, I feel the difference in this church. I want us to look at another church where the people could feel the difference. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 2. Back to Acts chapter 2, verse 40. In verse 40 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear come upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." Verse 46. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now when we read verse 43 again, it says, "Then fear came upon every soul, many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." The New King James Version, of course, it uses the word fear. The New Living Translation uses the word awe. The NIV, everyone was filled with awe. Their fear or reverence of God was why? Because they sensed and they felt what the Lord was doing in their midst, because they felt and they sensed that there was a difference. In verse 43, the NLT says that they had a deep sense of awe. We've had people come to this church when they were going to another church because the Lord said, pull in here. People picked up walking alongside of the road, invited to church, later came, and they came, and they rededicated their lives to God. 3 weeks ago, a refrigerator was mentioned in the church because we have times when we have fellowships and we have luncheons that we just can't get everything crammed into the refrigerator. That very next week, I went to somebody's house and they give me 10 $100 bills to buy a refrigerator with. 2 weeks ago, someone mentioned having a pop can collection point at the church for the youth or for whatever that the need may be. That same very week, somebody come in this church, give me an envelope, and said, here's money, because we've decided any money that we get from pop cans is going to go to the church. Those things just don't happen by accident. I can tell you that this last month was the most amazing month that we've ever had in this church. I want to tell you that when we got done with the accounting at the end of the month, this church almost brought in $17,000. $17,000. God wants something to happen here, and He wants it to happen here if the church opens up their heart and embraces God and say, God, I not only feel it, I sense it, and I want it to happen here also. Praise be to His name. Our God is an amazing God that we serve and that we worship. The people in the book of Acts, they sensed a difference. They sensed a difference. Last week we brought in 23 members into the church, new members into the church, and we're going to bring in more today. I don't know about you, but this fills me with awe of God's presence and God's goodness. So in the Acts church, what had happened, this is what the sermon is all about, what had happened in the Acts church to make this come about? So look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and we're going to build on this. So Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. In verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Wait for the promise of the Father. Now turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." He told them, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. Now turn with me to Luke. We're going to come back to Acts, but turn with me to Luke chapter 3. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. In Luke chapter 3, verse 15, he said, "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John," and we're talking about John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus, whether he was the Christ or not. In verse 16, "John answered and said to all, 'I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.'" Have you received it? Have you received it? One calm day on the farm, in my infinite wisdom, I decided I was going to burn a fence row out. And it was one of the calmest days that you would ever think. There wasn't a breeze. I stressed the word calm, no wind, no breeze, until I struck the match. And 45 minutes later, I was calling the fire department to come put out a fire that I could not stop. Years ago, when I was in the National Guard, we used to go to Camp Ripley, Minnesota for summer camp. And we were up there one year, and we were all on fire duty. So whenever that we were around the barracks, if we weren't out on post camp and station duty, we were around the barracks, and whenever a call went out, we had to run outside, get in a deuce and a half. I don't know what they call them anymore, but it was a deuce and a half at that time. And we'd all pile in that deuce and a half, and they'd take us out down on these sandy roads, because let me tell you, in every military base you will ever go to, they haul in sand just so you can walk in it. So we went down this sandy road, we get down there, and this fire is roaring. I mean, I have never seen a fire like this from, you know, a little country boy in Iowa in my whole entire life, because it was more like a forest that was up there at that time. And I saw a pine tree for the very first time in my life. The heat built up so high that tree exploded in flames. The flame didn't even get to it. But as that fire was building and building and building, and that tree was getting hotter and hotter and hotter, it was just like the resin in that tree just exploded. Now I know we got people in the fire department that comes to this church. They can tell you all about fire and wind, because fire will create its own wind. They say that those forest fires out west create their own weather. Tornadoes will spin off of them. A fire will create its own wind as it sucks oxygen into itself. A fire will change the atmosphere around it. Now listen to me. The Holy Spirit will change the spiritual atmosphere around it. The Holy Spirit will change the spiritual atmosphere around it. When you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 again, When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. When a forest fire is out of control, it is sucking in oxygen, and it will roar, because you will hear it roaring as it's coming. The disciples that day, they heard a roaring sound. It was the power of God that was coming in that place to baptize them all in the Holy Spirit. And tongues of fire came down upon every one of them. And they saw the fire of the Holy Spirit that was on those believers. I'm waiting for the day at Crossroads Gospel Church. The fire department shows up out there and they're going to say, somebody drove by and we seen fire. Fire on the roof. And we thought it was a fire that was burning out of control. And it's nothing but the fire of the Holy Spirit touching hearts, touching lives as never before. Thank you, Lord. The disciples that day heard that roaring sound. In verse 3 of Acts 2, then appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. The fire of God, His Spirit, was falling in that place. The Holy Spirit not only came to indwell the believers, but He also came to endue them with power from on high. Also, we already looked at Luke chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. It said, I cannot fasten the straps of His shoes because He will come and He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So when we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 43 again, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. In verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Holy Spirit had changed the atmosphere of those believers. I believe that with all of my heart. You can go to a church for the rest of your lives and not see what's going on at Crossroads Gospel Church. If you are afraid to utter the words revival, we've had a revival that's been going on here, and God has started that work, and God is not done doing that work yet. He's going to continue doing that. He's going to continue doing that in our midst. Why? Now, I would like to be able to take all the credit and say, well, I'm just one of the most wonderful preachers you'll ever hear in your whole entire life. And we know that's not true. Carol and I would like to take credit for it, but we cannot take any credit for it because it is the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is doing the work. It's not us, it's God. It's God drawing people in. When you have people that drive down the highway and they said, I was going to go to my church that day, but the Lord told me I needed to pull in here. It's because God has given favor, because God has changed the atmosphere in this church. His Spirit, His power, His anointing is changing the atmosphere around us. Maybe the spiritual atmosphere in your life needs to be changed, just like He changed the spiritual atmosphere in my life. If you want it to change in your life and around your life, by now, from this message, you should know what needs to happen. The fire of God needs to come down on your life, and you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is ask for it. All you have to do is ask for it. You don't have to tarry for it. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to cry for it. You don't have to get good enough as your Christian walk that you can get it. You don't have to walk a certain way. You don't have to talk a certain way. You can say, well, I have a problem with this in my life. I have a problem with that in my life. Well, even more so that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and He wants to give it to you. If we have not received it, it's because we have not opened our lives up to it. And if we have opened our lives up to it, maybe there's a hindrance because we do not want to speak those foreign words that we do not know. Because we're giving as an total act of submission. I'm giving my heart. I've given my life. I'm even giving my tongue over to God. And whatever God wants to speak through me, I don't care how crazy it sounds, I'm going to say it because I want God's anointing. I want His power. I want His authority. Do you think that Pastor Leo used to preach like this before he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Pastor Leo didn't even used to preach. Pastor Leo wouldn't even talk in the church. Pastor Leo wouldn't even talk on the telephone. But the day that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was ready to get up in front of people and start telling them about my faith, telling them about what Jesus had done in my life, what Jesus wants to do in their life. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit will do in your life, because what does He say? What does He say in the Scripture? Go back to Acts chapter 1. You're right there. You go to verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. He wants to make you that witness. This church could double in 6 months if we shared our witness. This church could triple in a year if we are willing to share our witness. You already know that God has got favor on you, that God has favor on this church because He has changed the atmosphere. There's very few believers or very few people that visit this church that don't ever come back again. A few do, but most stay. Because why? Because they sense there's a difference. The atmosphere is different in this church. People will say, I feel love in this church like I've never felt before. They say, well, you know, some churches are so focused on doing the right thing, they just become legalists. They don't care. They don't love. And some churches, all they want to do is love. And they want to say you can do whatever you want, live your life however you want. But it's not this way in the church. We hear the Word of God, but at the same time, we have the love of God because God has changed the atmosphere. He wants to change this world. He doesn't just want to change you. He doesn't want to just change me. He wants to change the world. One last scripture to this. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more than your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? To those who ask. Those who ask. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we bind the adversary right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we bind him from this place, stopping anyone from wanting and desiring the gifts of the Spirit and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I bind him in the name of Jesus. I ask for your Spirit to have freedom to reign in this place today, touching hearts, touching lives, baptizing people in the Holy Spirit, speaking in new tongues. I ask that it would be done in the precious name of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.